One of the key parameters for assessing the cardiac rhythm is determining if there is atrial activity. Are there P waves? My goal in this short audio pearl is to highlight some pointers for assessing atrial activity. We define sinus rhythm by the presence of an upright P wave in lead 2 that precedes the QRS complex with a constant PR interval. The reason the P wave is upright in lead 2 when there is sinus rhythm is that the path from the SA node toward the AV node is anatomically oriented at an angle that in most patients approximates plus 60 degrees in the frontal plane. And this is the same relative position in the frontal plane that lead 2 occupies, namely at plus 60 degrees. This finding of a positive or upright P wave in lead 2 with sinus rhythm is so consistent that if ever the P wave in lead 2 is not upright, then you don't have a sinus rhythm, with just two possible exceptions, which are dextrocardia and lead misplacement. For the handful of times in your lifetime that you may encounter a patient with dextrocardia, keep in mind that the P wave may be negative in lead 2, but it does not have to be negative. You can have dextrocardia with an upright P wave in lead 2. Now, as obvious as it may seem that the P wave should be upright in lead 2 when there is sinus rhythm, one of the most common errors that I see even very experienced providers make is that they assume that the regular narrow complex rhythm in front of them is sinus, but then they forget to look to see if the P wave in lead 2 is upright. The easiest way to avoid this all too common error is to make it a habit that the very first thing you do with any tracing you are given is to spend the 2 to 3 seconds that it takes for your educated eye to look at each beat in the long lead 2 rhythm strip in order to ensure that each QRS complex is preceded by an upright P wave with a constant PR interval. If you have not yet been doing this, I guarantee that you will be surprised at how all of a sudden you'll begin to pick up occasional non-sinus rhythms that other experienced providers have missed. Now, most of the time, because of the anatomic location of the SA node with respect to the electrical viewpoint of lead 2, sinus P waves will usually be largest in lead 2. One of the more common non-sinus rhythms that you'll encounter is a low atrial rhythm, in which the P wave may be flat or tiny in amplitude in lead 2, and much more obviously positive in leads 1 and AVL. I'll emphasize that a low atrial rhythm is not necessarily a problem. It is often a normal variant, and the patient may be in sinus rhythm most of the time, but only occasionally switch to another atrial site. But my point in bringing this up is that even when a low atrial rhythm is not pathologic, we want to be correct in our diagnosis of the rhythm in our patients and developing the habit of routinely spending those 2 to 3 seconds, which is all that it should take your educated eye to scan the long lead 2 for sinus P waves. Doing this routinely will be clinically important in picking up non-sinus rhythms that other providers have missed. This leads to discussion of another normal variant rhythm, which is a wandering atrial pacemaker. It's rare to see this diagnosis being correctly made because, by definition, you have to document at least 3 different P wave morphologies that ever so gradually shift from one atrial site to another, and usually we just don't monitor patients for this amount of time. Wandering pacemaker is often confused with MAT. That is multifocal atrial tachycardia, but the two entities are very different. Instead of most often being seen in healthy subjects, MAT is almost always associated with sick patients, most commonly with severe pulmonary disease. The atrial rate with MAT is much faster than it is for a wandering atrial pacemaker, and rather than gradual change from one atrial site to another, with MAT, P wave morphology literally changes from one P wave to the next. So, how can you tell if P wave morphology is truly changing? Often, this will be obvious. For example, if one P wave simply looks very different from the next P wave, this tells you that the origin of the atrial site has changed. But the problem arises when you are trying to determine if a somewhat rapid atrial rate represents sinus tachycardia or perhaps a pathologic ectopic atrial tachycardia. The reason these two entities may be difficult to distinguish is that even when you do have a sinus rhythm, there may be slight change in P wave morphology from one beat to the next. Add to this the common occurrence of some baseline artifact, and I sometimes find myself not knowing if all of the P waves I am looking at arise from the sinus node or from somewhere else in the atria. The key in such situations is to look at simultaneous leads. Think of it. A PAC arising from near the sinus node may look very much like a sinus P wave if the only lead you are looking at is lead 2. But if you look at the other 11 leads on the tracing, P wave morphology will almost always look different in at least a few of these other leads if the impulse is arising from another atrial site. 12 leads are better than 1. These concepts that I've just discussed take on special significance when assessing tachycardias, both for SVT, that is supraventricular rhythms, as well as for ventricular tachycardia. Let's take the case of a regular WCT, that is wide complex tachycardia, about which we are not certain of the etiology. That is, not being sure if this WCT rhythm represents VT, or an SVT with either pre-existing bundle branch block or rate related aberrant conduction. If we can see AV dissociation, that is, underlying sinus P waves that are unrelated to the neighboring wide QRS complexes, then we have essentially proven that this wide rhythm is VT. The problem is that people often think they see AV dissociation when they don't. In my experience, unless you can reliably walk out regular P waves over a substantial portion of the rhythm strip, you are usually not seeing AV dissociation. It's common to see deflections that look like P waves but aren't when the patient is acute and the rhythm is fast and wide. If you can walk out regular P waves for a substantial portion of the rhythm strip, then this is an excellent clue that you are dealing with VT. But it's good to realize that most of the time with the faster VTs, you just won't be able to make out underlying P waves. Another mistake is that many providers point to the finding of retrograde P waves in a WCT rhythm as proof of VT. The way to tell if P waves are being conducted retrograde, that is backward from the ventricles to the atria, is that instead of being positive in the inferior leads, retrograde P waves are negative. Unfortunately, seeing a 1-to-1 VA relationship, that is a negative P wave in one or more of the inferior leads after each QRS complex, this proves nothing because both SVT and VT rhythms may conduct retrograde with a 1-to-1 ratio. With supraventricular rhythms, there is often the question of whether two P waves are present for each QRS complex, with one of these P waves being hidden somewhere within the R2R interval. This is the situation that commonly occurs with atrial flutter, which most often presents with 2-to-1 AV conduction. The most common atrial rate of untreated flutter in adults is near 300 per minute, with the usual range for flutter being between 250 to 350 per minute. At 300 per minute with 2-to-1 AV conduction, this makes for a ventricular response that is close to 150 per minute. Because atrial flutter by far is the most commonly overlooked SVT rhythm, the best way to avoid missing this diagnosis is to always think of the possibility of atrial flutter whenever you see a regular SVT rhythm at a rate close to 150 per minute, but without clear sign of sinus P waves. Then look for 2-to-1 flutter waves. The way that I look for flutter waves is by setting my calipers at precisely half the R2R interval, and then looking at all 12 leads to see if any of the notching or deflections that I see can be walked out with two flips of my calipers for each R2R interval. In my experience, the best leads to see flutter waves in are any of the inferior leads, that is leads 2, 3, and AVF, lead AVR, and leads V1 and V2. Two final pearls. First, the PR interval tends to decrease with faster rhythms. As a result, if ever you see what looks like atrial activity during a fast supraventricular rhythm consistently occurring near the middle of the R2R interval, rather than sinus tach with first degree AV block, there is probably a second P wave hidden somewhere within the QRS complex or within the early part of the ST segment. Set your calipers at precisely half the R2R interval and look in all 12 leads to see if one advance of your calipers from this midway point lands on a notch or deflection that confirms 2-to-1 atrial activity. And last, if your patient is hemodynamically stable and you are in search of a way to bring out hidden atrial activity, use of special lead systems such as a Lewis lead may uncover P waves not seen with conventional monitoring. I illustrate how to record a Lewis lead in the addendum of VCG blog number 223.